Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Free American Hour. I'm your host, Clay Douglas, and I want to thank everybody that made a donation to pay for the gas for me to get up to Phoenix. That was a 250-mile round trip, and it was well worth it, as I got to welcome back to the land of the living, to freedom, Mark Taylor. And I've got his mother on the phone right now. Donna, how are you, dear?
I'm better. I'm so glad he's home.
I am sure I saw that he got on the plane, and I got to meet both of your attorneys that are representing
right.
him. And I want people to know that these attorneys are basically really heroes. They stepped up to the plate when no other attorney would, and Mark Taylor is with his family today because of Wesley Hoyt, and all right, hang on just a moment. Hello, John.
Morning, Clayton.
Good morning, sir. Can you hang on just a moment? I'm glad you're with us, because I've got Donna Taylor on the line. And yesterday, I rode up to Phoenix and got to welcome Mark Taylor back to freedom, back from this whole medical establishment that has been holding him for the last year, and he's back with his mother, with Donna Taylor. And Donna, he remembered me. He said, I know you. I know you. And I said, yeah, Mark, we've met. And the fact that he could do that is encouraging to me, because the drugs that they've been feeding him didn't have that much of an effect. He seemed well. He was up and walking around and talking, and We got to meet at a McDonald's. I didn't get the pictures that I wanted, but I expect that you'll take some pictures of him after he's been cleaned and freshened up and you'll share that, and I'll put that up on the website. I'm also keeping up on the website. I'm keeping up the fact that Mark Taylor's free. I said, this is one story I've done that has a happy ending. I got to meet Mark and his attorneys at McDonald's in Phoenix after he was released from a Magellan group home in Phoenix and reunited with his brother. Mark is still a little woozy. He was still under the influence of whatever medication they'd been feeding him for the last year, but he remembered me and was on his way to the airport to rejoin his family. Donna has a long road to recovery and can use any and all donation. Sites were set up that told Mark's story that were supposedly taking donations that Donna never received. Wesley Hoyt is the only one authorized to receive donations and has put in a lot of time and travel without being paid by Donna. Wesley has negotiated with medical companies, attorneys, regarding the dubious steps taken to hold Mark for over a year. Compensation for Mark and Donna is on the table. Donna has to find honest professionals to help to bring Mark back to full drug-free health. And I'm asking you folks, this is right up on my website. Please help this family if you can with a big round and a big round of applause and a huge thank you to all who donated dollars to me. Without your help, I might not have been able to make that 250-mile round trip to be a part of the welcoming party for Mark Taylor. I'll continue to update you here as Mark progresses. And the donations there are Wells Fargo account number 5944951648. Or you can mail a check to the Columbine family for Mark Taylor, care of Wesley Hoyt, 333 West Hamden Avenue, number 710, Englewood, Colorado, 801102332. All of that is on freeamerican.com. Did I get that accurate, Donna?
Yes, correct.
All right.
Yeah.
And I hope we'll be looking for doctors. I've got people that will be coming on that are talking about ways to, restore, and get rid of and to cleanse, Mark, of all of the effects of these drugs. So we'll be working on that, and we'll all have people on my show in 2 days, or actually tomorrow. Tomorrow they'll be talking about that. Donna, I want to get to my guest, John Kaminsky, now. But are you happy, and how's Mark responding to being home?
Very good. He's very happy. He needed to be home a long time. He should never touch him.
That's right. And the lawyers
should never touch him.
It's still on the table. They're negotiating. They're talking with the attorneys. The attorneys know they do something wrong. They're facing possible disbarment, I think, my opinion. Not your attorney,
right.
My opinion. And I think the two attorneys you got, with the information we got, since it's still within the statute of limitations, mine might be out of statute of limitations, but yours isn't. And
right.
He will go back in and make these people pay for what they've done to Mark.
Yes, they should. It's horrible what they've done.
All right, Donna, I'll have you back on as this story progresses. Thank you very much.
Right. Thank you. Bye.
All right. A win for the good guys. Hello, John.
Ooh,
doesn't
happen very often.
Not very often. And we're still working on Edgar Steele's case. You know, the whole Edgar Steele's case is a bigger farce than what happened to Mark Taylor. Mark Taylor is just one of the many people that have fallen into this medical web. I think these hospitals are traps. I think this whole medication system is as corrupt as our military. Let's make a bomb. Let's blow up a building over there. Let's kill a few thousand people. And then we'll go back in and pay ourselves to rebuild it. Just scam, isn't it? Tell me about Libya. What's your thoughts on Libya? I just played. Now, John, this is a, we talk a lot about the Jewish control and all that. And I just played a clip before the show, of Louis Farrakhan talking about Libya, talking about why, you're worried about the Libyan people. Why weren't you worried about the Palestinians when the IDF was bombing innocent women and children there? Why weren't you worried about that? And he points out that Gaddafi has built a underground river. He's developed the country. He set it up for farming, trying to set it up so they can be self-sufficient. And from Farrakhan's point of view, he's not the bad guy that the press is making him out to be.
No, not even. I've said the same thing. He's done so much for his own people, and you need only to compare the fact that he's working for his own people rather than working for the behind-the-scenes people who put him in power, like so many of our, like all of our leaders have been doing. Our leaders don't work for us. They work for the financial kingpins who give them their opportunity.
You're absolutely right there. And this is what's so hard to break. I mean, these... I just had Larry Pratt on from Gun Owners of America, and he pointed out something that Americans have totally forgot. The politicians work for us. This is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, not a government of the banksters, by the banksters, and for the banksters. At least that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. We are supposed to be telling, they're supposed to be representing us. But as James Forrestal said before they threw him out of that 14th floor of the Bethesda Naval Hospital, you know, if they were just stupid occasionally, they'd make mistakes in our favor.
That's right.
That is right. No, it's a sad situation. It's really hard to find good news, so I was very happy to hear about Mark Taylor. I don't know the complete story about him. I don't know that we want to go over it because you've been over it a whole lot of times. But the whole Columbine situation is part of a much larger landscape of tinkering with people and making them do things they wouldn't ordinarily do. And, you know, you could say that about our military men. You keep hearing rumblings about dissatisfaction within the military, but the vast majority of them keep doing their mission, and what their mission is just so inhumane as to be unbelievable. Why there hasn't been a general revolt, I guess, in the military is the same reason why we haven't had a general revolt in the population, is that we're all sedated by mostly by television, I think. But
I call it the greatest mind control tool ever invented. They don't call it programming for nothing.
But it's really horrible to look at the television. I'm checking the Japanese situation, you know, at least two or three times a day, and every time I stop in at CNN now, there's this. Their main story about Libya is about this Jewish woman who claims to have been mishandled or raped by Libyan troops, and that's what they've made the focus of their coverage, very Jewish thing to do, and not a peep about the fact that Gaddafi has worked for his people. It's even more disturbing than that. There are websites that pretend to be on our side, but yet are advocating the invasion of Libya, and I think that's a very handy thing for them to do, because then we can identify them as CIA operations.
John, I'm sorry, I'm not sure, but I think you just kind of slandered Sarah Palin, you know, who wanted to go bomb Iran a few months back.
Well, I wasn't who I had in mind, but she's definitely welcome in that group, because she was definitely a member of it. It's like she's a cartoon character, and that's who we have as our presidents these days. We have these distinct, so-called distinctive personalities who, in the case of Sarah Palin, I think she impresses a lot of people with her apparent gumption and her willingness to stick her neck out, but I don't know,
To be in the tea parties. Now, I've been banned from tea party sites. They banned me from tea party sites because I was pointing things like this out.
Yeah.
You know, you've got people that have infiltrated every organization out there, and if somebody stands up that they can't control what they think and they hadn't been programmed or hypnotized, I mean, my God, you know, that's kind of what it is. Subliminal programming to get you to think a certain way. Oh, Gaddafi's bad. He's bad. He created an underground river that is growing so that Libya can be totally self-sufficient. They don't have to import food. They can they're piping the water in near the coastline and turning deserts into gardens.
Well, he certainly has. I mean, the comparison is striking when you think about really all the other countries in the world. I really can't think of a one who has, especially a dictator who's taken over a country and actually done things that are beneficial for his country, and he's definitely done that.
Well, I can give
but
you
the United States only supports
those people who do its bidding. The United States has no interest in the integrity of other countries. And at this point, I don't even know if we can say the United States anymore, because, God, there's so many things that are absent from the scene now. You don't hear the word patriotism come up anymore unless it's in terms of the way that that concept is being misused by the powers that be, who only want patriotism for the point of view of to get people to fight for their twisted goals.
That's right. That's right. I just a little bit again before you. I played a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King and talking about the Vietnam War and how, you know, suddenly patriotism, you know, you just can't remain silent anymore. You know, not speaking out about these wars, not speaking out about what's going on is, you know, that's a lack of patriotism.
Well, people are going to be forced into it. People already are forced into it because of the deprivation that they're starting to experience. You know, everybody's value has already been cut. Everybody's financial value has already been cut in half.
I'm sorry, John. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the synchronicity is working here, and I've got a little note here from Ron Paul. He said, "I hope you join me in my firm conviction that now is the time to fight back against the out-of-control Federal Reserve and continued Wall Street plundering of our tax dollars. The threat isn't hard to see. Just look around us. Our constitutional principles and values... our constitutional principles and freedoms are being assaulted at every turn. More bailouts, trillion-dollar stimulus plans, huge new debt burdens for our children, simply print money to cover our failed policy." I could go on and on. You and I know that President Obama is going to keep going and going unless someone puts a stop to this madness. But the good news is there's a way to fight back. The fight starts today by auditing the Fed and showing the American people how the Fed has abused its power, debauched the dollar, and help strangle our economy.
Yep, it's all true. It's all true. But as much as I've said in the past that Ron Paul is probably the greatest candidate we've ever had for president, I don't think he's completely clean. And I am one of those who believes that the system can't really be reformed because it was invented with flaws built into it, notably the fact that Congress has abdicated its responsibility to coin the money and sold it to the bankers for, God, can you imagine the bribes that have been paid over time by the bankers to the politicians to get the votes that they wanted?
That whole Congress is bought. I mean, think about the $1 trillion, $2 trillion that Bush gave to the banksters when he walked out of the thing. That could have paid for every mortgage in the United States, and a million lost homes.
The whole financial situation can be fixed in a heartbeat, but they don't want to fix it in a heartbeat because they're making their money off us, by being parasites on us, and they're not going to give up that golden goose voluntarily. We have to take it away from them. Trouble is, as you know, as we all know, because we're all in the same boat, is that there's no mechanism to do that because they own the courts, they own the cops, they own the military. They may not own the military, but, you know, trying to rally the military to defend their constitutional oath, I don't think that's going to be a successful endeavor because, you know, the people who join the military kind of give up their free will, and no matter how they may be disturbed by the orders that they are given them, they really don't have any choice but to follow them or else their life is ruined. They're like Bradley Manning is still being essentially tortured for releasing those tapes to Wikipedia. And he's an American patriot, and he's being tortured by the American government for acting honorably.
You know, I just played a song by Carl Klang talking about Gordon Call, you know, Farrakhan mentioned what happened at Waco. You know, we went in and bombed our own people. The same thing at the move over in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's right. That's all true. And you're trying to tell people. I mean, we have a
it's like a regularly scheduled list that we talk about of government atrocities that have been committed against the American people. But Gordon Powell takes that whole thing to another level where the feds went in and actually cut him up because... what?
What's it?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. I'm listening.
Oh, okay. I'm hearing some feedback. I didn't know what that was. The feds went in and talk about an atrocity, and it was all because he kept eluding them. He kept making fools of them for so long. But what they did to him, you tell that to the American people, and they can't believe that their own government did that. Oh, you're lying. You're making that up. No, you don't have to make this stuff up. There's
unfortunately,
every day.
I've said my fiction books are more believable than my nonfiction.
I've made the argument here recently that fiction is completely dead because there's no way fiction can keep up with what's going on in the world. If you threw these plots that have unfolded before us in the past few years. Thank you. Sorry.
That's right.
I forgot where I was now.
Let's take a call here for just a second and see if we've got anybody that's got some questions. Hello. Hello, 760 area code. You're on with John Kaminsky and Clay Douglas. Who are you, and were you calling in here, or were you just listening to the show? Hello? Okay, I guess you're just listening to the show. Thank you. Okay, we'll try this one. You got a block number, so who are you and what are you calling about? You're with John. You're talking to John Kaminsky.
Hello.
Hello. You got a question or something here, or are you just listening to the show?
Oh, well.
Okay, well, we'll try one more call here. Are you at 254 area code? Do you have a question or a comment for John Kaminsky?
Clay, I'm just listening to the show.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Okay. All right, John. Sorry about that.
So people listen to the show by telephone? Is that the deal?
Yes. Yes, they can listen to the show. They call into the switchboard, and they just listen to the show over their telephone.
Good deal.
And we do have the call-in, that number, 646-915-8774. John, you know, it also seems to me, being the suspicious conspiracy theory type of person that I am, that they are maneuvering these incidents. I think the war in Iraq was not only to eliminate Saddam Hussein, who might have stopped trading the oil for dollars, but as a training ground for our troops. For what they plan on doing here. I mean, in my film True Face of FEMA, we got Homeland Security, first Homeland Security meeting, briefing for law enforcement, and they're telling people, in case of a earthquake of significant magnitude on the New Madrid fault line, we'll need 400,000 well-armed, well-trained, organized, disciplined troops to control the American people. Is that what we sent our troops to Iraq for, to figure out, to get experience, going door-to-door, seizing the guns? Obama has supposedly signed a treaty with the UN banning guns in America. I don't know if that's true or not. But I would doubt it with Hillary Clinton on his secretary and going there. talking to them about this banning gun treaty. They want no guns all over the planet. They want everybody on with a chip in the international bankster system. And if you get rebellious, they'll just cut off your chip and you won't be able to buy or sell. Go figure. Where have we heard that?
Well, I think we're close to that now. It hasn't been etched in stone yet, but it's pretty much the way it is. If they want to cut you out of everything, they can do that. Didn't they make a movie about that? I think they did. Where they took away all this guy's money and all his identity, and he didn't know what to do. And I think that's what's going to happen to a lot of us. I think a lot of us are already in that category where we're not really part of the system. And when we interface with the system, we pay that penalty because there's all of these restrictions that apply. And that's what has, that kind of thing is what has made the American people keep quiet. But how much are they going to steal from us but before we object to it? That's what I want to know.
And they've already got $12 trillion is what Ron Paul is saying that they've taken from us. And we've got more oil here than they got in Libya. We got more oil in North Dakota than we got they got in Libya.
Seems that way, yes.
So, wait a minute. There's one other person out there that's being portrayed as a nasty guy, and that's because the people in Venezuela are driving around on 25 cent a gallon of gasoline that Chavez has put back in. I mean, he's been elected by the people. He's loved by the people. And somehow Chavez is our enemy, along with Gaddafi, along with Saddam Hussein, along with Al-Majad. And by us going out and attacking these Jewish conceived wars, these Protocols of Elders of Zion wars, whoever's behind it, I don't care whether they're Jewish, Christian, or Muslims, if they're ripping us off, if they're stealing our money, if they've got it all, if they're behind this whole central bank scam, World Bank scam, International Monetary Fund scam, then they're criminals.
Yep, we'll own the courts. Criminals will own the courts.
If we're going over and attacking Libya to support the rebels, the anti-government rebels over there, it's going to, and what we've done in Iraq and what we've done in Israel, are allowed the Zionists to do in Israel. That really makes Americans into ugly Americans. It makes them hated around the world. And hasn't that always kind of been the point of communism, to turn people against America?
Oh, you could go in a lot of directions off of that statement. There seems to be, I wrote a story and I did a video called The Destabilization Template. And if you look at things in that way, at least they seem to become a little clearer. Whatever they do, whatever they announce, it always has the result of reducing our lifestyle, limiting our freedoms, or somehow negatively affecting us. And I was just thinking a few minutes ago that when you hear pronouncements that American government officials make and listen to them carefully, none of those pronouncements are for the benefit of the American people. They're for the benefit of the financial establishment that rules us. And it's very different from what a real, as Ron Paul has said, it's very different from what a real American philosophy would like, because it's not really an American philosophy at all. America doesn't have an American philosophy anymore. It has a Jewish philosophy, and that Jewish philosophy is to be faithful to no one and steal as much as you can. That's the Jewish philosophy.
And somebody in the chat room said, well, it's not the Jews. Well, it's the Jews only make up 2% of the population, but they control and they talk about in the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, the terrible power of the purse.
Yeah, it's all about finances with them. We have to see that, and it's like we're not seeing that, for a number of reasons, but we have to see that or they're going to kill us. They're well on their way to killing us. We have radiation in the air, folks, and if you breathe that stuff, you're guaranteed to get cancer. And we have our public officials from the president on down saying there's nothing to worry about. Well, do the math.
We've got to say now. I want to get to that. But stay with me for just a second, and we will. Okay. All right. I wanted to get this thing about radiation. The whole planet is being irradiated. Now, if we have scalar technology, we can start earthquakes. Or maybe Russia is in on that too. They have the woodpecker just like we can the ARP.
I guess China does too.
And so. If this is the new form of warfare, what it does, if this happened, and they predicted it would happen in my film, True Face of FEMA, the New Madrid Fault, if they use that scalar technology and started an earthquake along the New Madrid Fault, we could basically have an inland sea that would cut this whole country apart. And it could, there's 14 power plants, nuclear power plants built along that New Madrid fault line. Now, if they're trying to kill us, the depleted, you know, somebody said, and one of my listeners in Europe said something about, well, that radiation's coming your way. That's the radiation's coming your way from Japan. Yeah, well, over there in Europe, all of the radiation from the tons of depleted uranium we've dropped on Afghanistan, on Iraq, And now we're dropping on Libya, that's going to blow right over to Europe. They are poisoning us, not only with the Archer Daniels Midland, not only with the food supply, but with the whole radiation plants. We don't need, if everybody put a windmill and a solar panel on your roof, you wouldn't need the power companies, you wouldn't need the nuclear power plants, and you wouldn't have, you know, people setting up these giant wind farms to sell you more electricity that they're getting from God.
Was that a question?
Kinda. I mean, they sold. What about this radiation from Japan? I mean, could this be a direct attack? We shut Japan up. Sony stands for Standard Oil in New York, doesn't it?
No, it's not. It could, but I think it's really something else.
I talked to somebody that was there in World War II in Japan. They said they drove more bankers around than they did generals.
Oh, it's all such a mess. I don't know where to begin with it all, really. Everybody's so depressed. Everybody so has this feeling of hopelessness. The officials who come on the TV are talking in platitudes and other empty things that don't mean much to us, don't have much bearing on our lives. The only thing we can see is these trillions, billions of dollars being spent on all these military operations, and the United States is falling apart. You know, it's like we shouldn't even have any interest in invading these countries, because there's so much work to do here. But as everybody suspects, we're being set up for something, and it's not good. And I think it's, you know, like you'd say, it's our extermination. That's easy enough to say today. There's enough. There are enough things going on out there that don't bode well for our future health. But everybody's, like you and me, everybody's just going around cackling and complaining, and there's no plan of action. And within the next few weeks, there's going to have to be a plan of action, or we're all just going to lay down and die. The people who are running our country need to be in jail. They're criminals, and their victims are the people that they're supposed to be representing. if you want to take a hard and fast line on this, and I've written this several times over the years, that all of the Congress needs to be put in jail for their complicity over 9-1-1, because by now everybody in the Congress knows that Muslims didn't do it, and yet they're still pretending that Muslims did do it so they can continue all these wars that they're all getting rich off in one way or another.
Carlyle Group, Brown and Root.
All of that.
Yeah, you know, I just did a song about that, David Von Kleist singing, wake up, America, you know, you this whole military, industrial, medical complex, I mean, it's a medical complex, too, and what's plank number 9 on the Communist Manifesto, John? Any clue there?
Well, I couldn't tell you that.
It's called corporate farms.
We got those in 1921.
Right.
Yeah, we've been steered wrong, and you know, you get philosophical about this stuff after a while, and you say, what's really going on here? What's the purpose of humanity? And according to the people who are running our country, the purpose of humanity doesn't involve any human values at all. It's just to consolidate as much power as we can. But these people are poseurs. Obama, Bush, Clinton, all of those people are poseurs. Because they were never working for the American people. And I don't know, I don't really know the last president who really was working for the American people.
Andrew Jackson.
You could take a shot at JFK, but he has complications. We do know that he had a much better attitude than any other president we've had in our lifetime, at least in terms of talking about honor and noble things and meaning it to some degree, I think. By comparison, the other presidents we've had are like bad. They're all bad characters in a movie. They're completely insincere about what they're advocating. They've been told what to advocate. They don't really believe what they're saying. They only say what they do because it has gotten them to this privileged status in society because they've played along with the big boys. But in the meantime, God, how America has fallen. It has been betrayed from within by people who have been bribed, basically. And the rest of us are left to suffer and attempt to pick up the pieces. But I'll tell you, there's going to be no picking up the pieces after the stuff that's going on this year comes down, because it is all coming to a head. I don't know how much listening of Cliff High you've been doing lately. But I don't know how accurate his predictions are. I only know that the things he says resonate very much with my observations. And I think it's very reasonable to expect the end of our lives this year.
You know, if people would realize, I mean, we got 2% of the population. Everybody says, oh, you shouldn't talk about the Jews, Clay. I tell you what, I'll stop talking about the Jews when they stop talking about the Palestinians, when they stop killing the Palestinians, when they stop demonizing the Muslims, who actually should be right alongside the Christians, and were in the 700 A.D., they were. They both believed in one God. The Muslim believed in the words of Jesus. I believe in the words of Jesus. You know, why is that a problem? Because the Jewish conspiracy behind this, and it is basic. Who were the Jews? Were they the pharaohs? Were they the people that are sitting in their bodies put in tombs? You know, built the pyramids. Come on, how long has this been going on? This has been going on in this world for 10,000 years. It's called slavery. It's existed all along, and they've just refined the art of slavery a little bit. But, John, I think there is an answer. I think if we get back to the basis of every civilization, which is the self-sufficient family farm, we could beat them. How did we live 10,000 years ago? How did we live before the banks took over? We grew our own food. We raised our own animals. We hunted. We fished. You know,
I've heard several people say that recently, that
you know, you and I and people like us get worked up because we seek out the intel and try to figure out what's going on behind the scenes. But if we lose our cars, and even if we lose our electricity, of course, that's going to make it hard in Florida without air conditioning. But, I mean, if we lose all that stuff, we're still going to be able to live our lives, assuming we can find food. This loss of... I'm not saying we will lose technological society, but if we did have a lot less of it, I think we'd be a lot better off.
Well, a Republican form of government, you know, limited government. You know, they fed us a false scale. They try to say there's communism on the left, there's fascism on the right. I don't believe that. I believe on the left is anarchy, and on the right, you've got every form of control, whether it's democracy, whether it's communism, whatever it is, you know,
yep.
Fascism or communism, they're all on the right. They're just different means, different ways to control you.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it, actually, like that. Anarchy on one side and totalitarianism on the other. I've read in the past few years a lot of criticisms of liberalism. And how liberalism allows the sabotage of governments by small increments, and I don't know how I feel about that yet, because I started out as kind of a liberal, and then I saw or have seen over the past 10 or 20 years how that liberalism has been used to create a welfare state that is actually a poison for society. It drags it right down, and it has dragged us down. But on the other hand, I'm not able to give up wanting to know the real empirical facts about every situation. And if you the minute you enter into religion, it's like you complicate everything a government does by having these magical rules that are different for people, even though their goal, they say their goal is the same, but it allows a mystification that turns into things like executive privilege and state secrets. Things that we're not supposed to know because we're not intelligent enough to know them. And this kind of, like I said, mystification creates the secrecy where we have a government of a supposed democracy that makes a large part of its money off of organized crime that we hear nothing about. And so it's the hypocrisy that's dragging us down, because the people who are making the statements, the presidents and the senators who are supposed to be speaking for all of us, aren't really speaking for all of us. They're speaking for their own little narrow business interests and couching it in patriotic rhetoric to make them appear like responsible citizens, but really they're not, because they don't really have any interest in improving the lot of the population. It's all about them keeping their own power and staying in sync with the people who are running things from behind the scenes. God, I've said this for 8 or 10 years now, that as long as we keep talking about Obama and Bush and Clinton, we're not going to be talking about the real problem, because the real problem is the people who control him, and none of that, or very little of that, ever appears in any kind of media.
Well, the control of the media is what is happening here. Yeah. I mean, we can't elect a congressman or a president that's going to be on our side, because they won't tell us about them. That's just like Charles Collins. When Charles Collins got up to tell everybody we could buy back the Federal Reserve, they cut his cameras off. They cut his cameras off.
He's trying to like find out about Obama's background.
Yeah, where's this birth certificate? Where's that, you know?
You know, I've really angered a lot of religious people by comparing the creation of the Christian church back in the 4th century A.D. to kind of what's going on now. It's like they've created a false story, and they're making us believe it by force, which is exactly how the Christian church gained its ascendance in the world through the Inquisition and things like that, where they said, you have to believe this or you're not part of society. And it's my contention that it wasn't the truth then and it's not the truth now. And the two systems, both of which were created by Jews, are very similar.
You know, I that's actually what I'm going to be working on in my next book on Lucifer.
Uh-huh.
That these religions are simply ways to enslave you.
Yeah, they are.
And it's ruled by fear.
Keeps you from thinking too.
Yeah, just have faith. Just have faith. No, I'd like to see some hard facts.
Just believe what we say.
Yeah,
and
how many years were we not allowed to read the Bible?
Oh, yeah, centuries. They didn't really have it completely written until about 1800, though, anyway, so it was probably just as well. There's a blindness that's going on, and it somehow it kind of engulfs both ourselves as individuals and ourselves as a country by I don't know. It's a system that's not really right. It's hypocritical. It's like you have to buy my religious product, or I'm going to kill you. That's the essence of most religions. If you don't subscribe to my principles, then we're going to go to war. And the sad part of it is that, I mean, this is really profoundly sad for the whole human race. The sad part of it is that all of these religions are saying the same thing. Thomas Jefferson had this nailed a long time ago. All the religions are preaching the same thing and going to war over the way that they're saying it. Basically, that's the deal. And this is not a problem with God. It's not a problem with Jesus. It's a problem with the priests and rabbis and mullahs who say that they know the exact way to run the world, and everybody else has to believe what they say or suffer from it. And this is the exact totalitarianism that if the human species is going to evolve to something greater than it is now, and we pray to God that that will happen, then everything has to change. This system can't take us there. That's, I don't know, I'm wandering all over the place here, and I haven't made a coherent argument, but attempts to reform any of the systems we have are destined to fail because they're all based on lies. And we'll never have a healthy planet until we have a system that is based on a much closer approximation to the truth than we have now.
How do we get there from here, John? I mean, I've looked for answers. The best answer I could come up with was the Liberty Village concept: restore the family farm, grow your own food, create your own electricity from the wind and the sun, just what God gave us. Give us that, and we don't really need anything else, do we?
We need a better attitude.
It's,
we need a better attitude. I have a solution that I think will work. It is unproven, and I can't get anybody to agree with me on it. But that's not going to stop me from advocating it because I believe it's right. And I think the real problem is that we can't identify with what's
going wrong with the world because we can't identify what's going wrong with ourselves and what is wrong with ourselves and what has been always been wrong with ourselves. And this is going to be it's going to seem at best counterintuitive to a lot of people. And at worst, they're going to think I'm a crazy man, but since so many people believe that already, I'm not too worried about that. It has to do with death, Clayton. It's my belief that we spend virtually all of our lives following rules and aspiring to something that has been laid out for us as the way to live our lives, but it's actually harmful to the whole planet. And I think what we see as the condition of our planet today is, you know, totally ravaged and radioactive and poison and all this other stuff is a direct result of the beliefs that we hold within ourselves. We believe that after we die, that what we did in this life is going to determine where we go. So that's why we follow all these rules, because and people I talk to regularly are gonna start to yawn at this point. There's something about the fear of death that underlies all our actions, and we don't realize it. The whole of society has been set up based on the fact that after we die, we're going to go someplace else or we're going to come back. The oldest human belief, the historians say, is the belief in reincarnation. Because it's easy to understand, because this life is so wonderful, we don't ever want it to end. And we live our lives pretending as if it doesn't end. And I think there's a direct link between that and the hypocrisy that runs the world, where that allows this at the bottom of all of the things we do is this fear that all of the actions that we take in this life are meant to cover up that fear, are meant to convince us that that fear doesn't exist. And I really do believe that if we were to admit that we die, and that may be something humans can't do, but if we were to admit that we die and we're not going to be here, and everything that we do has to be done in this life, and that we have no say over what happens to us after we die, I'm thinking that this would give us a new attitude about other people and make it more difficult to kill other people, because then we would realize that they die too and that everything they do is done in this life. I haven't articulated that clearly yet. I hope
I don't know if I agree with that. I kind of lean towards reincarnation, because I think if we don't get it right in this life, we get our ass kicked back down to the hell that is Earth. You know, it's.
I think that's a human projection. I think that is a. It's like when we think about.
Could be. I'm human. But
like I say, I haven't found anybody who agrees with me, and I haven't really found anybody who could understand what I'm saying, but I'm going to keep working on it, because I think our belief in the afterlife is killing the planet, actually, because we're not paying attention to the thing we should pay attention to. We don't have any control over what's going to happen after we die. We don't have any control over it. No matter how many prayers you say, you have no control. We don't know what happens. So humans have always had a great deal of difficulty admitting they don't know something, which is why we give names to things that are often improper until we figure out what they really are. And we haven't figured this out. We may never figure this out. But if we have real faith, we don't worry about it. Because
I've done
all we can do is what we can do in this life. We can't wear crucifixes. We can't do all these magic things anymore. We have to become
down to earth, admit that we have just one shot, and realize that other people are in the same boat. And I think this would bring humanity closer together. Maybe I'm wrong. I haven't articulated it right yet.
I understand the point that you're trying to make. You know, if we can work together to make this a better place here, instead of, you know, worrying about where we're going to go after we're here, I think it's that we need to concentrate on the problem and understand that we all bleed. We've got a commonality. It's called humanity. We are humans, and we need to work to preserve that and make it better for all of us, not just not a particular one. That's, you know, I think that's the blacks, the Muslims, the Christians, the Jews ought to be standing arm in arm and saying, we're not going to go for this totalitarian bullshit anymore.
Well, you think that would happen, but they can't do that because of their priests. Their priests won't let them do that.
Okay, let me try to take one more call here. Let me try to take one more call. 760, hello, you're on the air here.
Yeah, hi. Have you've heard of David Icke?
Yes, I've heard of David Icke. I know David Icke, yes. He's been on my show, yes, sir.
Oh, he's been on your show?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, thank you very much. And one more call, 919, you're on with John Kaminsky and Clay Douglas. Hello.
Greeting, the Honorable Minister Clay Douglas.
Thank you, Dr. Irish. How are you, sir?
I'm blessed and favored. I missed what happened yesterday when you went to free the beloved from the jail. What's happened? Did you do that?
Yes, sir. I did that. He is back home with his mother today. We got him out of the facility, and he is a free man today. And that's all up on my website, Dr. Ice.
Okay. Thank congratulations.
I'll let you go back and listen here. And
congratulations.
Thank you, sir. I urge people to go check out your KB Gold site up on my website. Thank you, sir. All right, John, we got about 2 minutes yet. Tell people how they can help you, and how, you know, I appreciate the work that you're doing. I appreciate the thoughts. Your column is the one column that I read first off every time that you send me one. So tell me about it.
Well, first of all, I want to echo that man's congratulations about your work with the Taylors. Stick with it, and let's see what we can. Let's see what kind of lesson we can make the American people say on this. Although I don't know how much we can do. I'm with johnkaminsky.info is my website. It's hard to categorize me, but I think the thing to remember about me is that I've identified the world's major problem, which has to be talked about when you're discussing any other problem. You have to consider this first, and that is the problem of Jewish influence and the Jewish, how do you want to call it, the Jewish perversion, that's not quite an inclusive enough word, the Jewish destabilization of society, where they make systems fail because they make money doing that. And that is the dominant philosophy in America. It's the dominant philosophy in the world, probably. Anyway, I write a lot of stuff about, now it's about Japan, and it's a little bit about Libya, but I am one of those Americans who realizes that our government is our enemy. And
I agree with that 100%, John. If the government wasn't our enemy, wouldn't they be offering potassium iodate, sodium iodate, what is it, for radiation?
Yeah,
I know. The iodate. And wouldn't they be offering that instead of flu shots?
Yep.
No, by get this flu shot. Come on over here. Hey, step right up. We got a flu shot for you. Come on. No, give me some potassium iodate. Give me something to prevent me getting sick from this radiation that you're sending over here.
This is a very sad time in American history. It may be the end of America. But it was brought about by America having leaders that weren't really working for Americans.
And by the way, folks, doctors are the third leading cause of death.
No, first.
Are they first?
The yes, statistics, this was 2009, I do believe, where the statistics were that the most common cause of death, how does this go? The most common cause of death in America was following your doctor's orders.
We have had a couple of good doctors on my show here. John Kaminsky, thank you for being with me. God bless you and keep up the good work.
You too, Clayton. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Now, hold on a moment, and let me get this all set up. Okay, this one. No, 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 no. This one I need.
Call recording has been completed.
And this one.